Good morning. Thank you, Bereshis Rabbi Stone, for setting up this beautiful program. There is no off day. There is no off day. We are very, very, very proud of all of you coming here today, showing the primacy of Talmud Torah. And we are very, very excited about this Gevaldik Hashir. We are going to learn one of the most well-known stories in the Talmud. Gemara Brachos, Chav Zayin Mabez. I was anticipating that most chaver here might have learned in Hashir this year. The very Gevaldik, exciting, exhilarating story for Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, his removal is Nasi. It's very Lebedik. And we're going to focus on is different lessons that we can Amir Tashem glean from this powerful, powerful story. For a show of hands, who learned the story in Shir this year? The story of Rabban Gamliel. Okay. Most beautiful. So I'm going to be reading some type of just quick bits to see what we're holding. Let's begin. There's a story of a Talmud that came in front of Rabbi Yeshua and he asked him, Rabbi, is Tfilas Arvis Rishus Rechova? Is Ma'ariv optional, obligatory? Amarle Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua's stance was, Ma'ariv is Rishus. Optional, Gevaldik. Balfnei Rabban Gamliel goes rabbi shopping. Now he asks Rabban Gamliel the same question. Is Ma'ariv Rishus Rechova? Amarle Chova. Rabban Gamliel, who is the Nasi, the head honcho at the time, tells him, Chova, obligation. Amar Le, the students, you know, stirring up the pot a little bit, says, follow Rabbi Yeshua, Amar Li Rishus. Wait a second, Rabbi Yeshua told me Marav is optional. Why are you now reporting that it's a Chova? So Rabbi Gamliel tells him, wait till the big guns come into the Beis Medrash, the Bali Trisin, the shield bearers. Why they call that? Because Torah protects. Wait till they come and pose your question in front of everybody. When everybody comes in again, he asks the student, is Marav Rishus or Chova? Rabbi Gamliel says his opinion, he's the Nasi. Marav is a chova, obligation. And then Rabbi Gamliel says to everybody, anybody disagree with me? I just said Marav is an obligation, anybody in the crowd disagree? Rabbi Yeshua, probably feeling a little tense, says, nope, we all agree. Thinks he's off the hook, not so fast. Rabbi Gamliel says in front of everybody, it was reported in your name. You said it to Rishus. Yeshua, stand on your feet and testify. What is it? Which one is it? Is it Rishus? Is it Chova? You said it's Rishus. So this takes us now to source number one. Beautiful line. Ilmale ani chai v'hu meis. If I was alive and he was dead, meaning the person who asked me the question, yachol achai lachishas ameis. The living can contradict the dead. I would be able to say, no, Rebbe. I said it's a Chova. Life's good. V'yachshav shani chai v'hu chai. But I'm alive and he's alive. He's here in the room. Hechachol achai lachishat achai. How could the living contradict the living? Meaning, I have no choice, my hands are tied, checkmate, I admit it, I said it's a Rishus. What can we learn from this? And that's going to be the goal this year. What can we learn? Says the Nemuki Yosef something very beautiful. What was Rabbi Yeshua implying? That he was able to change his words. Had the person been dead, he would have lied. Why? For the sake of peace. For the sake of shalom. For the sake of shalom, he would have altered his words around. That's how important peace is. Of course, we always prioritize emes and being truthful. Hashem Elokeichem emes, titein emes liyakov, of course. But there are certain circumstances where we need to prioritize shalom. He was saying, had he been dead, I would have lied. To create this unity, this harmony in the Beis Medrash. And we see the same thing in source number two. Does anybody know what this is talking about? Participation? Anybody know what this is talking about? Baruch atah and mechlam shakol neb d'ro. Amen. Anybody know what it's talking about? Source 2? Don't be shy. Yeah, Abu Sal Michael, yeah?
When Sarah hears that, when Avram's told he's going to
have a kid. That what?
When Avram's told he's going to have a kid.
Exactly. They're told the great news, they're going to have a kid. They're well on in their age. Vatitzach, Sarah, Bekirba, she laughs, Lamor, Acharevi, Loti, Haili, Edna, Vaduniza, Cain. I'm old now. I'm going to have delicate skin again. And Vaduniza, Cain. Avram, my master, he's old. I'm going to have a child. He's an old guy. Vayomar Hashem al Avraham. Hashem says to Avraham, Lama desachacha Sarah lemor? Why is Sarah laughing? Haf umna meleid, saying, could I have a child? Vaniza kanti, saying about herself, what? That she is old. What do you see? What happens here? Who knows this? Who knows? Yeah, let's go.
Hashem, when speaking to Avraham, switched around, because really Sarah said, Avraham's old. Hashem said that, sorry, Hashem is referring to Avram. Sarah says that she herself.
Ooh! Ooh! Very good, Shteen. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, Bo Metzia. This, look at these leadership right here. Says the Gemara, Bo Metzia, Pei Zayim Aralef. Tam Debe Rabbi Shmuel. Godul Sholom. Godul Sholom. Peace is so great, and we have to internalize this in a world that always feeds off Machlokes. Greatest peace. Shafil Kadosh Baruch Hu Shinabo. Hashem changes the words. Shenamar v'tizchak Sarah bekirba. Sarah laughs. Baduni zaken. Sarah said, Avraham's old. But when Hashem reports back to Avraham, Hashem bechvodo ba'atzmo changes the words. Vayomar Hashem al Avraham v'ani zakanti. She says, what did Sarah say? She said she was old. That's not what she said. She said Avraham was old. But Hashem changed around the words. And Joel's thinking, but he is old, right? But he is old. That's the point. That might have been a little offended. Maybe it would have hurt him a little bit. Maybe it would have been a little bit of a zetz. So Hashem wanted to prevent any sense of discomfort. So Hashem changed around the words. So beautiful. Alpi the Torah Kedosha had to act. Now we continue with the story. Rabbi Gamliel continues to lecture. And he makes Rabbi Yeshua stand. He makes Rabbi Yeshua stand. And now just a little backdrop, just so you know. This story takes place about 14 years after Bayis Sheni, the Chorban Bayis Sheni. It was a very difficult time for Am Yisrael. Very challenging time. This is a time at the Chorban we lost many, many Jews were slaughtered by the Romans, sent into slavery, exile, and we needed to ensure that the Torah was strong. Where was the Sanhedrin after Jerusalem? Where was it located? Not yet. Yavne. It was in Yavne. And it's all the next stop was Yavne. Because Rabbi Yochanan Metzakeh made sure that would be in Yavne. And the goal of Rabbi Gamliel Zanasi was to keep the Torah strong, to keep the Sanhedrin strong. We were a nation that was reeling. We were a nation that was in pain. We needed to make sure the Torah was strong and steadfast. That was his goal as Nasi. So that's why he had to be so strong, because he didn't want there to be this opinion, that opinion. But as we're going to see, he might have taken it too far. So he makes Yeshua stand up. Awkward! He's just standing there while the lecture is going. It's getting awkward, it's getting heated, and he's just standing there. And the people are saying, this is so awkward. Let him sit down. He's in front of everybody. He had to admit that he said, Marav is a Rosh, just let him sit down. And the people say, this isn't the first time. They had a debate in the past about what day Yom Kippur was. And he made sure in front of everybody that Rabbi Yeshua admitted to the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And they had a story about the status of a Bechor animal. And again, in a very public fashion, he made Rabbi Yeshua say what was the correct position. The people said, we've had enough. He's been too hard on Yeshua. He's out. Rabbi Gamliel is no longer our Nasi. Wow. Talk about drama. So they say he's out. So now that Rabbi Gamliel is out as Nasi, they need a replacement. They need to find the right person. They start going through the candidates back and forth, and they determine Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the most appropriate person. So then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what does he do? He goes and consults with his family, with his wife. And his wife says to him, Dilma Ma'abrim Lach. They're going to get rid of you too. Why do you want to become this Nasi? Why do you want to do it? Why do you want to do it? Does anybody remember what he responded? Matis, let's go. Not just the captain of soccer, hockey, debate, and Model UN, yes. Also a Talmudic scholar.
I'm not going to let me go Model UN. No, is that...
Oh, recording. We're on air. You didn't hear that. We're on air. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we're on air. Off the air. We'll talk it out. Yeah.
Like something about like why like instead of like focusing on like a fancy club breaking tomorrow, you like drink from it today.
Okay. He's got the bits of it. Okay. So look at source number 4. What does wife say when he says they asked me to be Nasi? Could I be the Nasi? Could I do it? And she says, they're going to get rid of you. They got rid of Gamliel. Don't do this to yourself. And he says something very beautiful. Amar la. Source 4. L'shtamish inish yom achad b'kasa demokra. Let a person use a fancy cup. One day, ulamachar litbar. And the next day, let it break. Which again, is to turn the page, such a beautiful, beautiful response. What was he saying? If they have the opportunity to be nasi now, I'm going to be nasi. Obviously, in life, we have to be thought out, we have to be calculated, we have to make good cheshbonos. But the bottom line is, when I take the position, I'm taking it. And I can't start thinking about a million things. Oh, what is this? What is that? This, there, or the other. We'll make ourselves crazy. We need to be balanced people. Make a decision. Boom, I made the decision. And I can't think of the fallback. But what about this? What about that? Because why? What happens in life? We always think about every case or worst case scenario, we're going to get crippled. We'll never make decisions. We'll never take on risks. We'll never take on initiatives because we'll always be too scared. The what if, the what if. So once in life we've decided we want to start a new program, a new club, a new initiative, take a new job, lock in and not think, oh, but what's going to happen? I'm going to get fired. It's not going to work. Right now, I have the chance to drink from this cup. Tomorrow, let it break. If I could be nasi right now, let me be nasi. Gavadik. So he decides to be nasi, and a great miracle transpires, and he gets the nice gezunt. Remember that? He loves that. He likes the gezunt. He remembers. He likes the gezunt, the geschmack, a white beard, because he looks the part. Because he really is only 18, but he needs to look geschmack for the chevra as the nasi. Okay, let's go. So now he's nasi. That day, what happens? The Gemara says, "Silku l'shomer Pesach." They remove the guard. There was a guard at the Beis Medrash because of the prior prowess. He's removed. And nina lam reshus l'tamim likanes. And they allowed the yidden come in. They said, "Come on in." Shaya Rabbi Gamliel makriz v'omer, because when Rabbi Gamliel was in charge, what was the policy? Kol Talmud. So now I'm on source number 5. Kol Talmud shein tochel kibaro. Any student that's not sincere, lo yikanes l'beis medrash, can't enter. The prior policy was, when Rabbi Gamliel was in charge, and Nasi was, not everybody could come in. You had a tough guard, Matzis-like guard, big dude. You had these two giants at the gate. You ain't getting past the world champ. You ain't coming into my study hall. You ain't messing with me. They got lip in there too, the big three. They're like, they said, you can't come in unless you're sincere, right? That's like a hey, baby, unless you're sincere. Oh my God, please, please. All right, all good. Unless you're sincere, you can't come into the base medrash. You can't come in the base medrash. Wow, that's a strict policy. That's a strict policy to not be able to learn the base medrash unless you're sincere. So the question is, as we go to source number 6, is how did he know? How did the guard, makes me feel at home, how did the guard know? How did the guard know if the students were sincere? So everybody look at source number 6, please. This is the Shus Aparkrasta de Inya Chilak Aleph Simin the Samach Aleph. This is, how did the guard know if the students were sincere? It's a good question. And he quotes a big Rav who says, Al Derech Schos, which means in like a tongue-in-cheek way, Demisha Dochek Adatzmo, I'm on source number 6, the second line. Demisha Dochek Adatzmo Likanez, Zos Tu Daso Shetoche Geboro. Somebody that pushed himself to come, somebody that really wanted to come in, that was a sign he was sincere. Hine, Afal Pidoto Sadik Lo Omo Rak Al Derech Schos. This response, it says, even though the tzaddik gave this answer, you know, in like a tongue-in-cheek way, it's really close to the truth. It really is a good pshat. Because somebody who doesn't have their heart burning for Torah, it's not going to push himself to learn. Somebody that's not really passionate is not going to push. All of his desire is only superficial. And any little prevention, anything stumbling block, is going to stop him from learning. What is this saying? Such a beautiful idea. If you're really passionate about Torah, nothing's going to stop you. If you're really passionate, you're going to wake up early. You're going to come on this day when there's no school. And even if it's a little difficult, you're going to push yourself to go to the night seder. Because when you have that passion for Torah, nothing can get in the way. When you really want it and you're passionate, you're going to go for it. So had the guard know, maybe he said you had a hirsch or a lip or not, this big dog, say you can't come in. And the baby says, I could come in. And he said, no, you can't. He says, yes, I can, I'll take all of you. And I'm like, okay, whatever you say, sir. Give him the VIP treatment. Because that showed he wanted it. That's what happened last night at base at B'nai Shur. So that's exactly the point. And I'm joking. But that's exactly the point. Is that if you want something, you're going to go for it. You're going to fight for it. You're going to go. You're not going to be stopped. So had the guards know if people were sincere? If they pushed their way in. If they weren't stopped. If they said, I'm coming in. And that always has to be our attitude for Talmud Torah. That it's not about, oh, can this? And there's always an excuse. There's always, I'm too tired. I have this. I have that. I have this commitment. I have this. I have that. Ba-da-da. If we go by our excuses, we'll never learn a minute. But if we're passionate about Torah, and if it's our life, and if something is our lifeline, and our blood and our oxygen, we're going to make sure it happens. We're going to make sure that it gets done. A second answer by the Shus is that, beautifully, how did he know? That the guard checked. The guard did character tests. The guard did examinations and tried to determine which students were sincere. And I guess like an analysis, a character report. And that's how he knew. Now we go weiter. So on that day, what happens? There's an explosion. Hahu yoma, itosu kama safsale. Many, many benches were added. And there's a machlokus. Was it 400 benches? One opinion says 700 benches, meaning there's an explosion of Torah. And there's a lot of different inquiries are resolved. A lot of mysteries are resolved. It's an explosion. It's called Osoyom, that day. Whenever the Gemara says in Shas, that day, it's that day where the guard was removed and the floodgates opens. That day. Remember, now you know. That day was Osoyom, was that special day. And everybody's pumped up. Everybody's rocking. It's really beautiful. Now that brings us to source number 7. Havakachal shadaiti de Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, seeing this, he gets very weakened of spirit. This hurts. He starts to get, oh baby, he starts to say, oh boy. He starts to say, he gets dispirited, disheartened. What's going on? I leave my policy, I'm no longer the Nasi, and now there's 700 new benches, explosion of Torah thought. And he says so beautifully, source number 7, Dilma chas v'shalom manati Torah Yisrael. I prevented Torah from Israel. He feels the pain. He feels that regret, that remorse. I prevented Torah from Klal Yisrael. My policy wasn't great. And again, we see Rabban Gamliel's humility, able to adjust, to refocus, to reinvent himself, which is a very hard thing to do in life, especially as a Nasi, the top dog in the nation. So he says, maybe I held back people. So you look at source number 8, comes from the Maseches Avoster of Nasam, something very beautiful. Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai omrim aishen adam elel mishu chacham va'anav v'shafal ruach. So Beis Shammai says, you can only teach the shteens, the tigers, only the people that are sages and humble and shafal ruach. That's what Beis Shammai says. That's who you should teach. Different shir by itself, why they feel that way, but it's limited who you should teach. But don't worry, Matis, our chevra is here. Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, Ubeis Hillel Oimrim, L'chol Adam. Everybody you have to teach. You got to teach everybody, says Beis Hillel. Why? Look at this line. Look, I'm on source number 8, last line. It's a beautiful Torah. Sharei poshin ayu bahem b'Yisrael. This is so gorgeous. There were sinners. There were sinners in Klal Yisrael. There were sinners. There were people that were not going the right path. They came from Sheet Karavu lahem l'tam Torah. But once they came close to learning, Yatsu mehen chasidim v'tzadikim. Delicious. They became righteous and they became tzadikim. Wow. Says Beis Hillel, you teach everybody. Why? Because there were members of Klal Yisrael that were rotten. There were members of Klal Yisrael that were not on the right path. There were members of Klal Yisrael that were OD, off the derech, OTD. But what happened? They came to the base and they changed. And they revolutionized themselves, and they transformed, and there was a new version of themselves. However, it's very, very obvious what this Gemara is saying. Torah changes us, if we let it. Torah changes us. Torah has the ability to transform us, to become the best people we can be. If we let the Torah sink in, if we're humble, if we listen to the messages, if we do L'Shem Shemayim, it really changes us. And, you know, this is a really nice chevra here. We have freshmen here, and we have seniors here. I could say, you guys, look at the seniors here. These, I see 5 right here, 6 right here. These are very, very great role models for you, everybody in this room. You know what I'm saying? We got Steen, Matish, Hirsch, Lippi, Beta, Jacob. Am I missing any seniors? So we see here, these are really Chuck, fine. Chuck Schlieter, my guy Chuck. Let's go, Chuck. Really, Chuck's one of the nice people you ever meet. You will see these seniors that you guys are looking at are really b'nei Torah. And you see, they learn, and they're committed, they're here right now. Freshmen, sophomore, juniors, look up at these models right now. I look up to them as well. They've had Torah help transform them. All the Prikiavos, all the Mishnayos, all the Chevrol, all the time going to b'nei Shurin. Torah changes you. Torah transforms you. And it's not just a nice catchphrase. You can see it with people in your lives. And that's the beauty of Talmud Torah. Okay, well, let's go. Source number 9. So now, again, as we said, Torah is, don't worry, I'm mindful of the clock. Torah is exploding that day. And again, that's why Rabban Gamliel was hurt, because he sees the benches are added, and there's beautiful thought, and there's beautiful excitement, and there's gebaldik. And we see something else beautifully. Everybody's steiging. Then the Gemara says, Af Rabban Gamliel lo manatzmo mi beis hamedrash. Afilu sha'achas. What a beautiful line. Even Rabban Gamliel didn't stay away from the base that day. Wow. That's amazing. Even Rabban Gamliel didn't stay away from the base. So what do we learn from that? There are a lot of things to learn from that. Again, shows his humility, because he was kicked out as Nasi. He was removed as Nasi, and then he sees an explosion. Imagine going back to the place. That's a hard thing to do. But again, shows his humility, shows his quest for MS. But says the Kosev, I apologize, it's a little difficult to see. Source number 9 is the who, it's the second line. If you could try to, like, you need to decode this. She'ein lachzikim b'machlokes. What do we see from Rabban Gamliel? Don't keep machlokes going. Wow. Don't keep it going. If he would have left, he never came back, there's always that beef, that tension. Oh, they got rid of him, this. He went and said, you know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still going to be part of the community. I'm still going to shteig. I want shalom. Again, a beautiful thing. What's modern day society? Anytime there's a fight, yeah, let's go, let's go. Everybody is filming and instigating the fight to make sure that it increases. We increase machlokas. Unfortunately, you look at that, that is the sad reality. I'm not just talking about sporting events in the realm of politics, media, anything you look at. The goal is how to keep the fight going, because that's what sells. That's what people like. That's not a Yiddish attitude. That's not the way of a Torah attitude. The way the Torah is, we're not machzik but machlokas. We try to burn out the fire machlokas. We don't try to put more logs to the flame. And that's what Rabban Gamliel showed us. He wanted to make sure the machlokas would stop. And continuing on that theme, the rest of the story, we're coming to a close here. The rest of the story, Rabban Gamliel actually apologizes to Rabbi Yeshua, which again shows his humility. Again, he was L'shem Shemayim, the Mepharshim explained. He was L'shem Shemayim. He wanted to make sure that there was one voice, one localized voice from the Sanhedrin. He was a tzaddik. He was the Nasi for a reason. The people did thought he was a little too harsh how he treated Rabbi Yeshua in the process. But this was not him trying to, show. It wasn't about him. He wanted to make sure that the Sanhedrin, after Bayesheni, Chorban Bayesheni, was strong, unified, one central voice. But he went too far. That was the key thing to remember. So he apologizes to Rabbi Yeshua, and there's peace and love in Am Yisrael. So now the people say, okay, we need to reinstate Rabban Gamliel. He's our Nasi. He had the lineage, the experience, the pedigree, the resume. Let's bring him back. But the problem is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria has been Nasi in the interim. And they say, we can't just get rid of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria because he's been there. It says the Gemara, source number 10. Why can't we remove him? That was so beautiful. Malim b'kodesh v'ein meridim. Because we go up in Kedusha and we don't go down. He was Nasi. He can't just be Nasi Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and then go back as a common person. That's a demotion in his Kedusha, in his elevating status. So we have to make sure that he stays. So they had a whole rotation, basically 3 weeks Rabban Gamliel, 1 week Rabban Elazar ben Azaria was the head lecturer to make sure that Rabban Gamliel was really the Nasi again. But Rabban Elazar ben Azaria kept the status as Nasi. But this concept is huge. And this is our last theme of this story. Hold on a sec. This concept is huge. This is our last theme. Is that we need to go up in Kedusha. And we see this in source number 11, the famous Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Does anybody know what this is talking about, source 11? I quoted the same thing we just quoted in Brachos, but anybody know the context? Jeb, don't tell me Jeb!
Chanukah.
Very good, Chanukah. Wow. I got to teach Jeb next year. Chanukah, this is talking about Chanukah. Excellent. Machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 in terms of lighting. Beis Hillel says that, and Beis Shammai says 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ascending versus descending. And one of the reasons explained Beis Hillel, by the way, which is how we paskin, you keep adding lights, is we go up in Kedusha and we don't go down. And this is something I want to close with this beautiful chever here of seniors, juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. Really, this has been awesome, really very special. Is we can never stay the same. We can never stay the same. Matis knows we can't stay the same, because staying the same, as the Vilna Gaon says, if you're not going up, you're going down.
The escalator.
The mushroom we like to give is, try to view life as going up a downward escalator. What? What does that mean? Meaning, if you're trying to go up a downward escalator, but you just stand there, you're going to go down. You have to constantly be going up. Steen knows in his youth, he used to do that all day, every day. Run up those escalators. So the point is that Avoda, I'm talking to everybody in this room is in a different stage. You're all in different grades. as you were as an eighth grader, you can't be as a freshman. Freshman can't be as a sophomore. Sophomore is a junior. Junior is a senior. Senior now as you move on. Can't be the same way we were in our prior state, whatever that state is. Our avod, of course, in a very healthy, incremental way, is to ask ourselves, how am I growing? How am I moving forward? Because if I'm not moving forward, I am going to be moving backwards. Of course, there are going to be challenges. Life gets difficult. There are pitfalls. There are stumbling blocks. And that's what it means to be a yid. We have ups and downs. There's no doubt about it. But the mindset in Mirtz Hashem should always be, Malim B'Kodesh, the Ein Moridim. Yashikoach.